guess in my mind there are several groups of people living across the refuge area, and I'm not talking ethnicity. I'm coming at this from a different angle. There are those of you who have always lived here. This is home. This has always been home, and I guess I'm including in that group people like my oldest daughter. She was 2 when I moved to Dillingham. Southwest Alaska is all she's ever known. This is the only home she remembers. A few of you might take exception with that, but I hope you'd see my point of view. Then there are folks like me, Alaskan for pretty much all of my adult years. People who made the decision long ago that Alaska is and will be home forevermore. And then there are those who are fairly new to the last frontier, be it a conscious decision to move because they have decided this is where they want to be, or maybe related to a job opportunity. It is to those folks, those who are fairly new to Southwest Alaska, that today's episode is directed. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. If you are from here, or if you have been here for a while and you want to tune out today, no biggie, I'd understand. But our area, and Dillingham in particular, can have periods of high turnover. People come and people go. Some intend to stay and others don't. And sometimes the ones who intend to stay, well, that doesn't always work out. Life is what it is, right? But the fact is, we get a lot of people who maybe are new, and the things that make life here good or easier are still something that they're getting a handle on. So today, I'm going to share some thoughts directed at that perspective. This is not meant to be a be-all and end-all list or ramble, and it reflects my experiences and opinions. Also, this is going to be a random share, topic to topic, and not with an eye towards any sort of conscious chronology. I guess one of the first things I'd mention is apparel, which has been a topic on here before, but certainly is something to think about with winter still here. In a nutshell, no cotton. Go synthetic or naturals like wool. For those new and hearing this for the first time, if you're just going to the post office or store, okay, no big deal. But if somebody invites you on a snow go ride, well, maybe give thought to what you're putting on. Cotton retains your perspiration, big time, which can lead to hypothermic conditions. You want something that breathes and does not retain moisture. There are any number of synthetics that are just plain awesome, as well as certain naturals. Things that breathe, dry quickly, and retain heat even when wet. Also, remember to dress in layers. Some of this stuff is very much a do-as-I-say-and-not-as-I-did sort of thing. I was pretty stupid my first few years up here. It's amazing I survived long enough to be a part of Field Notes. A lot of enjoying Alaska, really enjoying Alaska, comes down to access. That access can come in the form of the gracious courtesy of others or through ownership of the right toys to accomplish that yourself. For example, in non-Dalton, my first Alaskan years, it was largely an ATV but also a snow-go. Within weeks of getting there, I was told I needed a four-wheeler. I called around Anchorage and found a really good deal on a last year's model showroom Suzuki Quadrunner and promptly snatched it up. And it served me well for a whole lot of years, hauling my butt around to all manner of fishing and hunting places, as well as to school and home again. I also bought my first snow machine, a brand spanking new Yamaha Enticer. Again, it served me well. I never did buy a boat. Most of my fishing was close enough to access with four-wheeler, and for the places that weren't, I had enough friends happy enough to invite me along. I did buy a canoe and used that to get to some good spots directly across the lake from town. My point is that to really enjoy our state, you need to be able to get out to do that. Since moving to Dillingham, I have a skiff and a Kubota and an Argo and a couple of snow machines. All of those help me to enjoy what the outdoors here has to offer. You don't absolutely need those, but for a lot of what we do, they certainly help. Again, you can depend on the kindness of friends, and I've done that a time or three myself. Some sorts of gear can do the same thing, but gear that doesn't require as much investment. I'm thinking of things like cross-country skis or snowshoes, or maybe in the summer a canoe or a kayak. Don't get me wrong, there are often a number of things that can be done in and around communities. Or maybe your hobbies or interests can be met without needing a machine that will get you 37 miles from town. For a lot of us, though, such things do make a difference. For me, buying that quad runner and that enticer made my lifestyle in non-Dalton a lot more fun and fulfilling. My Kubot and my Argo do the same for me here in Dillingham for the things I like to do. If you're new to the area and planning on staying, for sure find ways to reliably get out. You'll be glad you did. So, what other sorts of things might be something to consider for those who are fairly new? There's the topic of high prices for everything, but I can only offer up limited advice on that. Buy what you can online from sources you trust. That's often your best bet to help reduce the financial load. For some stuff, it just is what it is, such as gasoline and, to some degree, food costs. And even when you've been here for a while, you can have lines in the sand, so to speak. I've been here just over 25 years now. I still won't buy potato chips at full price. I just can't do it. I wait until they're on sale. My point is there are workarounds, and some of that will be based on what is and isn't important to you. Summer's still a long ways off, said the guy who likes riding around on a snow-go. But there are a couple of things to consider about summer, if you're new. The two things I am referring to are bears and bugs. Both are single syllable, both start with the letter B, and both can seem scary. First, bears. Bears are a legitimate thing to account for, but I think the level of fear can be somewhat overblown. Understand that when I say bears, for most of our area, I mean brown bears. There are specific situations to avoid or be careful around. Sows with cubs, around food sources, tight quarters, giving them space. But for the most part, they want nothing to do with us. Be bear aware, have some form of protection just in case, and be proficient in its use. If you're uneasy camping or you have concerns about property, bear fences can be effective. I'm not going to go into super detail here, and this has been a topic in the past as well, but read up on being safe in bear country. Talk to people who have been here forever. Educate yourself and prepare. Frankly, I think the fact we share Alaska with bears is one of the really cool things about living in Alaska. The bugs? That's a different matter. And I'm talking primarily about mosquitoes and white socks and no-see-ums. Oh my. Each is a scourge in its own right. Different people react differently to or have differing opinions about each of the three. All can be bad, particularly if you're not prepared. While there is overlap, all have different peak seasons on the calendar, which is fortunate. This is very much one of those things that's dictated, to some degree, by personal tolerance. That said, here's what I do. A good bug repellent can be effective. However, I'm not a huge fan and will pursue other means first. If it's windy, great, no big deal. On rare occasions, I'm not ashamed to admit that I choose the tent or the house over being outside. My preferred bug combat tool is my thermocell, a device which uses a heated scent-infused mat to keep insects at bay. I swear by them, and they really don't cost all that much. But for those of you who are new, if this summer will be your first, and you will for sure still be here, have a plan for both the bears and the bugs. You'll be a happier camper, perhaps literally, if you do. I guess I've rambled on now, laboring in the assumption that if you're new, you want to be outdoors, and in my defense, this is Field Notes. But whatever your interest happened to be, if you're new to Alaska, for any length of time, a little planning can help. I'd say feel secure in your hobbies, but don't be afraid to broaden your horizons. Even if your number one hobby is reading, for example, you can still take it outside and enjoy it in a different manner. Maybe a really comfy chair, a screen room to keep the bugs off, a book and a beverage would make for a nice change of pace over being in the house. My daughter often pursues something similar to read. Even if you're here for a job and rural Alaska isn't really where you wanted to be, make the most of it. You may never be somewhere like this ever again, and someday regret not having made more of it while you had the chance. One last thing that can be super cool, especially if you're new, is watching our days get longer. all that discernibly increased amount of sunlight. It's happening now, and adding well over 5 minutes a day. Honestly, the next couple of months are some of my favorite parts of the year for that very reason. 25 years here, and it still amazes me. I'm probably forgetting a whole lot of stuff, but we're coming up on close to time. Deciding to live somewhere else, whatever the motivation, comes with adjustments and changes. That's even more so in deciding to move to and live in rural Alaska. We have circumstances and things to account for that just can't be found anywhere else, and, frankly, that's a big part of what makes us such an appealing destination, in my humble opinion. Figure out what's important to you. Do your due diligence. Find ways to acquire what you need to pursue those things you've identified that you want to do. Be open-minded. Talk to people. Never stop learning. Alaska can be the most wonderful place in the world, even if you know you won't be here long. Plan for your time and make the most of it. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.